In terms because of the grand understanding of consciousness, this has been a long debate that we had with understanding what is actually consciousness of and what is not consciousness. So when we got information from grand, it was priority given to Bhakti prior to 1994. Any Bhakti system that was in place in 1994, and then it was Bhakti system supplied by the municipality. It was municipalities that serviced those buses. It was highly formalized, established settlement for informal townships. The thing that came out in our last major quarterly meeting was that informal areas are to be done later in the 2010 presentation. That was a debate we had. What is the market and what is the vulnerable reality? And we then came across here that the one to the left is actually a market, which was by municipality. And the one to the right is VIPs that were developed by owners, but some of them had put their own buckets in their system, which they had got from someone else. So we did not identify those as buckets that were given by the municipality. That was very simple for Grant had to tell us what is a bucket and what is not exactly a bucket. In terms of statistics, how changed it was 12,332 buckets. To date, we've completed 11,054 have been completed. Those 11,000 is either DIC or waterborne. Most of them, I think 80%, is waterborne systems. We have 278 left to be completed. The current expenditure for all that is a total cost of 35 million, which is come out of the open water sanitation program from the big contribution. We've only got to review 3.1 million of this to get rid of the buckets, which is our last one that's left in the city municipality. Our completion date, all our buckets will be finished in housing end of June 2007. It's still on target, the project is running, the last project, the only problem we just had that the area that was identified is rocky. So to put in the infrastructure now is delayed. We need an additional 5 to 7 million to finish the 1994 situation by end of June 2007. The Lesedi project has now incurred additional costs due to rocks that have been found. And also we've noticed there have now been additional buckets in that area. So we've added that in, which is not in the 12,333. It's about another 200 to 300, which would still be finished by the end of June. And we've just located, that has informed us by a day process in one of our other municipalities in the western area. A few families of about 40 of them who have buckets on the farm. So we're going to intervene on that farm and put the GIC forward. In terms of ownership GIC, this is where the distinction comes in between what was bucket supplied by the municipalities and where owners have built their own system, similar to that of a GIC, whether it be a wooden structure or a steel structure. There was 9,903 identified in the province. 4,633 are completed today. 2,730. We are going to reallocate the funds for those families to new areas to where the families will be housed. They will be moved from the current informal settlement, which is Boise belongs to in Kuleni and Zendela in Zendela. It's going to be moved to other areas due to the area not being suitable for housing. Then we have 1,523 units. That is left out of that 9,000. The reason why we cannot install that the existing infrastructure in that settlement are so close to each other that you cannot even get a wheelbarrow in between some of them. So it becomes difficult to even install toilets in those. So we have to put up communal toilets until people are relocated and buy a housing program, which will open up the place. The expenditure on those currently also is around 37.2 million. If you will look at, just to give you a brief on the VIP installation that we are doing in Caltech. That is a VIP, the base of a VIP toilet in excavator, because basically it's four or five beams that are put into the ground. Then we employ labor, local labor is employed, they have been trained, and these are in panels which are then on top of those beams. The top is then fitted on top of that structure. The toilet structure is then assembled on top of the tank, which in both directions, and the toilet there you see the back fitting which will fall into the tank at the bottom. And of course the ventilated pipe that is used for the tank. the structure looks like inside when it's finished. So in fact, what we have done is we've asked all infrastructure that where the AIPs are installed in Caltech, they must be adaptable so that they can be changed into waterborne sanitation, which is our next target that we'll come to when it's going along. So this is basically what the outside of the structure looks like when it is complete. This is a brick AIP which has been built in Caltech. The reason why I showed this one is that if you give people ownership of the toilet, they maintain it. If you don't give them ownership where you have sharing of toilet facilities, we found there's a big problem. Nobody takes care of it, then the tank is, the roof is gone, the door is gone, the tanks are gone, and the ceiling is gone. So this was the example which we have to encourage that each plot has one VIP as well. After the VIPs and the buckets are done, we then conducted a research with our own funds again to find out where the community exactly happy with what we had installed. And this came as a request from our MEC, the SOC, the DC, said, guys, you need to go back to see whether we have done the correct thing. And out of that report, when we sent the report in, the agreement with the consultant was to find out the number of buckets that we should remove. We had this discussion with people with good things of a bucket. When we did the program, we said the buckets were gone. So when we went back, some of the buckets were still there. So when we did this research, we had to find out why is the bucket still there when we have replaced it with either VIP or waterborne. So this was the research. The research had to start up the number of buckets that were removed, the number of replacement toilets installed, if the installed system is still in place, improvement of the lifestyle of the community, is there improvement in the health of the community, community impression of the project, number of households to stand, number of informal toilets to stand, expenditure and value for money, which we thought we had got, and the jobs created for women leaders in the area. Now, the general problems that came out of this research document indicated it was inconvenient that there are many households in the stand sharing one of the items. What actually happened is the item was to put the owner of the stand was the VIP, but the owner, what we call, was doing his own informal hotel industry on his plot, where he's got more than one unit. So he's got three or four or five other units. And what he does is he keeps the VIP for himself, and then he needs other people, other means of using the facility. So this is one of his rented business for the facility for Sami Park, and a nice business decision. If in the farming plot where the VIP is installed, we find that the person has to walk 60 meters at night from his house to get his VIP. And we said that was not convenient. And some, we should have acted then and said the VIP should have been put up closer to the house. In most cases, the wet VIPs, they were waterborne sanitation. Because of the distance to get the toilet and the sanitation to the house, it became very expensive. So they put it at the closest point of link up. The owner of the stand assumes ownership of the toilet and refuses to share with the neighboring stands, although initially accepted to do so. Initially, when VIPs were done, like in Beckenthal, we had two to three families sharing a VIP until we came around with the second round and then everybody started taking part. The first was that didn't work well. Non-sharing of the facilities due to ethnic and religious differences between shared neighbors. We had ethnic differences between neighbors in certain areas where one cultural group will not share the toilet with the other cultural group, and that creates a problem. Inefficient maintenance from the municipality as we have to remain full for long periods of time. Orientation of some toilets to stand with the door of the toilet place to the seat or kitchen up with another household, and they want to be turned around. So every time you go around to these toilets, they're facing different directions. They face one neighbor's house for 1 week, and then another guy turns around and face the other neighbor's house for a week. Then there was the issue of putting the thing these slides, which has been reduced by the installation of new slides. The report then came out with also what were the successes of the project that was implemented. There was social acceptance of the system by the community. There was integrated communication strategies, because all the community stakeholders have come together. There was improved health and hygiene of the community, improvement in the lifestyle of the community. It uplifted the dignity of the community for providing acceptable and humane sanitation service. Job creation and skills transfer to the local community. It averted environmental disasters. And I think most of you know that in Caltech, we are sitting on dolomitic land. It is not dolomitic land. We are sitting on our water resources. That is very crucial for the province. And then we have all community households benefited from the project. The new challenges that we see, it added take all buckets that exist in the area. The situation has come up where we said that owners are now actually renting out informal settlements on their blocks to rent them. And as you know, that migration to housing is great, so the business of actually renting housing and property is increasing. And this has created another problem for us, because by the time we get to 210, people are going to have flats in the backyard, and which we already see people already starting to develop double stories in the backyard due to migration to housing. Then an effective maintenance plan actually is required for the municipality to provide efficient cleaning services. With the installation of the DICs we put in, we see that they actually closed. We assume that the state that it will take 3 years to be closed. It's now putting up in less than 2 years, and we have to put in a program in place not to enter the DICs. Then, intensified training of local labor and contractors to extend to a project administered and managed within the community, thus creating economic advancement. More intensified communication is required for municipalities to perform the community responsibility and ownership of the new sanitation system for community engagement. In that bullet work, we found that some of them have not been used correctly. People are dumping their waste, their food, their use. Some cases we found that the dead dog turned because of the actually different space. So that kind of creates a problem also. So we have to go back on the communication side. The next bullet for the municipal to iron out problems affecting efficient maintenance and service for the new sanitation system to speed up the process of relocating people in housing. The other challenges which we have, the biggest issue in housing is currently due to technical conditions and government conditions. I don't think any of the other problems will suffer that much. But a lot of housing, the land, the what you call the government conditions, where those of you who are engineers are not quite well, but we've actually got very big tunnels underground which were formed by water and have been eroded, and these things collapse without notice. And I've put in some examples if you want to follow. Then the next challenge is suitable land for development. Our land resource has been reduced a lot, so instead of going flat, we're going to have to go up. We're going to create a problem in putting up townhouses and duplexes and things like that. And then there was community dissatisfaction with some of the that have been installed with some of the projects, but the problems are inadequate water, unit cost for bulk services, project registration, long procurement, implementation time, as well. This is basically to give you an idea of what Dolomite is doing in Johannesburg. This is a sinkhole that has formed under a house at the one corner. These holes can vary anything from 6 meters in diameter up to 200 meters in diameter, and disappear 70 meters into the ground. Or, in the last case we had, 70 stories into the ground. This one is in Dalton. This is for Western area. This is the one in Tutorial. Swanee Dam. This hole was created by leaking pipe on Dolomitic land. It's in a loop area. That hole went down 7 meters. Took most of the house. It's fortunate that the house didn't crack at the station. The cost of Victoria City Council around 150,000 to close that hole up. Because you've got to find the bottleneck and shut it up, put in a plaster there and then put it up again. This is one of the informal settlements. It was an informal settlement, now formalized settlements again, where people refused to move, then developed in Dolomitic land. This excavation you can see is, this collapse has been quite deep and quite deep. This is in Meriform. Right? You can see the guy that walked out of his door, his front door, he'd have fallen straight out into the big hole in the morning. If you fall in some of these holes where the throat is still open, you are considered deceased. There's no way to go through your house. This is a house in Swanee also. Dolomitic conditions. The fact that one needs to put the advice of the MCIC not to construct houses in this area. This happened overnight, this was in 2000. All these pictures we have here, sorry, the last two pictures was from 2005, 2006. This one was in 2006. We visited the house at about 1 o'clock in the morning. When I used to work for NHPRC, we were following, of course, had a look at the house for that. At night, while the people were sleeping. So this is the situation we have in South Africa. Most of our land is sitting on those like this. This is a sinkhole close to Bronkhorst Place. The sinkhole is 200 meters in diameter, 17 stories deep. up to today, you cannot see the bottom of that bowl. That's why this is an aerial photography of that. And the big communities living there in that area could have probably put up about 20 houses, 30 houses. They would have all been prepared. And that is why we are very, very careful with housing structures and housing, especially low cost housing. You find a lot of the informal settlements are currently on government land. To convince people to move out of their living town. Because they say, my forefathers have been living here for 10 years, my family has been born here, which is quite true. Some of them have been here for a long time, but the land was never investigated until we started in proper investigation camp. 1 kilometer square investigation, lowering it down of every 500 meters square. We're finding that land like this is dangerous. 2 weeks after this one occurred on the opposite side, another one occurred, which was smaller than this, about 150 meters in diameter, but that one went down, I think, for about 50 meters. This one is 17 stories, so it's about 35 or 40 meters. The bottom of that hole you still cannot find. It's not walking, it's just a basic hole. So we don't know what the size of the sun under the hole is. Okay, in terms of water, my next slide will be for water. What does Kaohsiung mean for water? Kaohsiung is actually lucky in that he is surrounded by three rivers, which is the Vaal River in the south, Olifant River in the north, the Crocodile River in the northwest. Kaohsiung then imported water from out of the province, which is high water demand from 9 million people. I showed you the new stats, they've gone up to 10 million people for industry, agriculture, and mining. We are busy currently with the water demand management. This is done by Rand Water Forum. What you'll notice is that the purple line will give us what the water demand that we're going to need by 2024 2025, which is basically telling graph before they start building another dam for getting outside the water. The white, which you cannot see here, the yellow and the blue, is currently the usage in housing. But that is including the losses. So we are saying if we curb our water losses, find out where all our pipes are leaking in housing, go to Jika. We may not need basic infrastructure for housing. When we had this statistic, today we met with Graham, and it was the Housing Water Summit which was held last year, on the 13th and 14th of October, and he said we need to do something about the problem for water in housing and the issues surrounding that. So I'm not going to go too deep into the slide, but out of that, what came was a proposed vision by ourselves, Graham, and all the stakeholders that by our collective methods in the water sector, we will ensure that all citizens of Kaohsiung have access to basic water services, our industry is sufficiently provided, our rivers are properly managed, our environment is well protected for the benefit of all citizens of Kaohsiung. Now, from that vision and mission, has come a strategy. One of them is to promote effective and efficient institutions in the water sector in Kaohsiung. The second step is to promote effective water resource management, which has come through grass and rainwater. To promote effective and efficient water services delivery, to encourage efficient management and allocation of water for agricultural demand, to advocate integrated planning in the water sector, to encourage effective pollution control, which we've seen a lot now for our river system. The backlog in Kaohsiung, just to give you an idea, in terms of the sanitation backlog, the total, I'm just going to look at the total, 706,000. Sanitation households, seasonal total households that are not people. The existing backlog for water is 630,000. Existing backlog for electricity, 850,000. What we say existing backlog for roads is only 1,318. The roads one is what we have is uncarred roads in Kaohsiung, which means we have carred or paved by 2009, which is a target set by the union. Solid waste backlog, when you say 23, that will be talking about waste downtime that we have to deal with Kaohsiung. We've done a calculation of the waste that's been generated by the population, so we need additional downtime. The eradication so far to date is not listed by the MEAT program, not as such by the capital project that I've implemented by the municipality. We are having problems getting technical information from the municipality, but in terms of the MEAT project, we have very, very good records because it's a very good database set up by ourselves and the municipality, so we can get statistical information on the ground. To date, in the mix, with the sanitation, we've eradicated 160,000 or 161,000. The water backlog, 228,000 households have now got water. Electricity backlog, 6,593. That one can move faster, we believe. The road backlog is 172. Now, what we've noticed, some of the roads that we've done very little. On the 1,380 roads that we have seen was on the backlog. Most of those are roads into farming properties that belong to farmers. Now, we are not going to go tar roads for farmers so that families on the farm have access and use very little. And that is one of the expenses we will have to discuss later with the energy in the community. Solid waste today, we have developed 11 new solid waste landfill sites. The one that I have not included here for Caltech is the housing shortage. The housing shortage currently stands at 500,000. That is the latest standard. In terms of what we've done in the mix, you will notice our expenditure, just until March of 07, our budget for MIG was 899 million. The MIG is divided into various components, the B, E, N, and M components. The B component here refers mainly to water sanitation, roads, and stormwater, street lights, and solid waste. The E component is taxi, things like that, and the N component is schools and cleaning. But just talking on the water, I think the question here is to, somebody asked the question yesterday, how much of our money goes into water sanitation? Now, this is only on the MIG program. What we've done is, in counting it, if any municipality that we have promised or has a backlog, I refuse to approve projects then for other things. Because we need to eradicate the water sanitation backlog first. The target doesn't say for 2-3-4 days. So when the MIG program comes forward and says, this is a program we want to build a 40 million savings, the settlement will say, sorry, you can put 40 million in water. We will need to come into the savings, but we're not going to be wrong. We may be 5-8 need to call on the savings. To get them ready. But the key is water. Today we spent 194 out of our becoming 89 million, and sanitation 87 million, and the road you can see 271. Some water there is 19, lighting 34, solid waste about 8.4 million. But if you look at the total, from the time the MIG program started, we've spent already close to 1/3 of the water. That's part of the infrastructure. And then infrastructure through the local municipality. The challenges we face in Caltech is the IDC alignment. We said on the last IDC meeting with Russell, also present, all the other promises were present. Well, we find that the IDCs of the municipality, although it involves the community, the IDCs were supposed to be integrated. It is not coming up here. My second clue is that integration is actually happening in front of the department. The integration with water sanitation is not happening. Integration with houses. Integration in schools, for the integration of education department, all those interlinks are a problem. Then the project management unit structure and placement. With this we found that this is a big issue, and I'm sure it's with other provinces. If you put a project management unit, especially the big project management unit, if you put it under the electrical engineer or their department, you find that all the electrical projects become big projects. If you put it under a sanitation engineer, you find that all the sanitation projects become big projects, and as a result, electricity is left out, roads get left out. So very crucial what we've done in Caltech, we said that the project management unit must report directly to the municipal manager, and not report to any other department where they get blockage all the time. Then there was a lack of specification. First the unit wanted specification to implement projects, the other department got technical and said, you're the project manager, you will send the specification. And then resolve those issues between the engineers who are in maintenance and operations to give information to the project management team. Procurement delays, we're seeing in terms of the MSMA, there were procurement delays. Everybody complained it was the MSMA. But as promised, very hard to municipalities. Give us one clause in the MSMA that has delayed the process. We couldn't make one. So to me, it was the lack of the rollout of the MA from National Affairs to the MSMA. And we started doing that ourselves. I have read the documents, we've read it with other members of the staff, and we started doing presentations on our own on the MSM and what the documents. So we've resolved some of those issues. Procurement delays, yes, we are seeing critical issues in procurement delays. People don't understand the process. You have people who are not technically trying to improve the project, which are technical. I'm currently busy with that, and the municipality is assisting them. and the capital planning for projects, national and municipal financial years, is also 12 to 3 months different. We're involving those now. Council approval projects are waiting to council, which has delayed some of the approval in smaller municipalities. The bigger metros, the projects don't necessarily get up to council. They follow the delegated lower down, so they have to much quicker to implement. And the last one is statistical information and GIS. The geographical information system, which is lacking in municipalities. That is a challenge. On the GIS, we've spoken of the DSA to fund some of the programs that require that negotiation is still going on. Development, so what have we done at Housing in the last couple of months? We have now implemented a budget for reduction in water losses. This is an agreement between RAP, Randwater, and GLG. There's currently a budget we are all putting funds in this, and I think RAP, they're putting 2 million, Randwater is putting 1 million, from the project and putting 5 million, and we're actually monitoring the losses currently in 5 municipalities. The one that we save money in implementing with RAP, that project has been completed. There's a water loss saving of 2 million rand a month in Pulaney, which has now given the municipality a projection of 24 million in additional funds to reallocate for other uses. Then there's water conservation and demand management for 5 local municipalities that agreed to the first one. Water sanitation strategy for Caltech, which is an internal document which you agreed. We as Caltech province are on the way to saying we are too busy in drought stage that by 2010 we would like to see everybody having waterborne sanitation. The DIP will be our next target to be converted to waterborne sanitation. So we don't want to see any buckets, hopefully by the end of 2007, and we don't want to see any DIPs related to 2010. Those should all be waterborne. The decentralization of wastewater treatment plants, this is an agreement we've got with Rich University. We are looking at each and every municipality where we can decentralize the wastewater treatment plant. As you know, most of the sewer treatment comes to a point where it's treated. Certain areas on the other side of the mountain don't have anything, they have DRC. So we are saying we'd like to go up and include some kind of sewer treatment facility and give the people water control. Then there's the project that we are running currently in City Bay. We are working with Graph GLG, the many local municipalities, with 500 million rand of water, wastewater treatment plants that we are going to construct. If this project doesn't take place, we can lose all the tourism that we have in Indonesia when Bali is very big area. So we have direct tourism policies to the Bali location. Then there's the SAICA supporting municipalities. The one is the South African Institute of Civil Engineering. The other one is the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. Under support, under project consolidation, the province has now put in 25 engineers in our municipality, for I think it's 14 graduate engineers, and it's about 14 training technicians. These are all paid for by the province to assist the municipality to fill in where there is the capacity gap within the municipality and assist in terms of master planning and project management. Then there's municipal infrastructure investment strategy, which we are also building with now, the sort of infrastructure for housing. The documents we're building with quality control documents. We are drafting now the minimum quality control that needs to be done by all municipalities on each and every project that's been done. What we found that projects where municipality lacks capacity, or you find that inferior materials are being used, inferior products are being delivered, and as a result, we have to refund those projects again. Then I think the last one is the use of CDW to gather information. Well, we know that Caltech currently has 422 community development workers on the ground. By the end of, I think it's June, we would have 500 and I think it's 42 on the ground. It is not first-hand experience or information of any municipality or any ward in fact that we want. So we can talk to CDW and say, what is exactly going on in your area in terms of buses? And get a reply back from all 523 of them, when you are for 42 of them. And just a couple of money from the phone call from the office. So it's all simple release. You can send out one question to all of them and get all the answers back in an hour. So this is actually assisted us a lot in terms of where we still have buses, where there are big problems in the world itself. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry that was a little long, Manager.
talking, and the honorable members, we will be talking about this again on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The energy from Northern States are throwing it at all and running away, they may be invited back in. Thank you very much. I thought that we should follow that up with Limpopo. Where is Limpopo? Come, anyone from the Western States? Other than the Western States? Are you going to do the presentation for the Western States?
I can do it.
No, but you know what you can do. Sorry?
I can do it, yeah.
No, can I get to the family, please? Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, members here, and my colleagues. I'm Michelle Tienzi from the Limpopo Department of Local Government and Housing on behalf of our MEC, Lema Itengwane Mashara. I'll be making a presentation to intend for the payment of water services as well as sanitation in the province. But more importantly, we're going to focus on the water service authority in terms of the challenges, as well as the interventions that were put forth in the province. The presentation will cover the background, the targets, the backlog seen in the province that is per district, three basic services, because that is one of the key challenges that we also have to implement. We also have challenges faced by the water service authority, also in relation to the water service provider. We look also into the detail of the scenarios of challenges, as well as the service interventions that we put forth. I want to dwell much in terms of the constitutional or the legislation framework in terms of water services.
Mm-hmm.
However, I must indicate that within the province, the main challenge is that most of the funding is through the MIB, that is education for funding of schools and as well as in clinics and sanitation. The sanitation in the province is implemented through the water service authorities, as I indicated, the NGOs, as well as our housing program. So it means as much as we're building houses through the department as an implementing agent for the program, we also provide a sanitation in that regard. Then in terms of personal arrangements, we have what we call a Qualicom. Qualicom is a collaboration, kind of a committee, whereby various sectors that play the critical role on sanitation and water need monthly to look into issues of sanitation as well as water, or water issues. To us as part of that committee, our province, that is DLGH, is also part of that committee. I think by now we all know the national targets that we are driving towards. Those are the targets as well as the problems that we're trying to look into. In our province, the main concern, as I mentioned there, remains school sanitation, that is not meeting the necessary targets, as well as eradication of school sanitation backlog by 2005. Those are the targets that we are actually concerned about. But if you look into the water backlog per household, that this statistic is for 2006-2007, you can see that we still have challenges, mainly in the district. That is in terms of the household that is concerned, as well as the Kukune district. And I think the case that the Kukune is one of our biggest districts, which also receives the highest MIB funding. But still, in terms of the number of households, we still have the highest number in terms of the challenges, that is in terms of water backlog. Then moving forward to sanitation as well, we try to bold the area. If you look at Bembe district, which is also quite big, we have only 47% in terms of the household staff. We have Mopani as well, which is quite a challenge. We have Capricorn district. We also have the Kukuni. But in overall, it means that the province, we have a serious challenge in terms of meeting the basic services level of sanitation, because we're sitting at 40%. So if you look into the provincial context, in terms of water provisioning, we are doing much better compared to the area of sanitation. Coming to three basic water services, in terms of the water service authorities, as I've indicated there, from Bulugwane, which is our city, to Tarabini, which is among the rural water service authorities within Waterbeck district. The challenge still remains areas of Mopani and Kukuni. So you can see that when you look into households for water services, for sanitation, as well as free basic water, as Kukuni and Rembe seem to be appearing more often in all the plants, meaning that these are the areas that you need to focus on. But in any way, there are areas where we are doing well. If you look at Tarabini, we only have a problem of a sewer treatment plant that size in Tarabini, which is 100% in terms of free basic water services. And then if you look at Vidalina, being in the water service authority, we do not have any challenges in those areas. But basically, there are some few challenges that are faced by water service authorities in the province. Among others, it's lack of relevant qualification and experience in terms of our technical services, as well as project management units, that remains a challenge. And being a rural province, it's not that much easy, you know, to retain qualified people within the province. So then we have a serious problem with high staff turnover, not necessarily on technical, only if you look into town planning as well as financial expertise. Those are the areas where we actually experiencing problems. Functional organizational structures, if you look into the latest information on the assessment of the IDP, that remains a challenge in the province. If the organizational structure of the municipality is not intact, therefore the results actually are mirrored with the functionality of that particular municipality. And then also impact on the credible strategic and operational plans, which remains a challenge. Again, it's the technical capacity for project management, which also relates to the competency of people that are being appointed in most of the posts, especially on technical expertise that is required. poor infrastructure as well is one of the challenges. If you have a construction that is of low quality, usually it also reduces the lifespan of that particular infrastructure. This is what we are experiencing in the problem. But amongst others, this is more related to the incompetent service providers that you really found in most of the municipalities implementing this project. That's the main challenge. And as well as lack of or insufficient project management by water service authorities, and also their relationship with the water service providers in some instances. That becomes the problem. In some cases, we find that there is no formal agreement between the authority and the provider. Therefore, it's not easy to manage that kind of a system. And the last one is that municipalities do not have quality management system. It's more on project implementation, but quality management system is actually not yet prioritized. Another challenge that we're experiencing is on insufficient funding. Insufficient funding in such that as a province there is over reliance on grants, which is the MIG in this regard. For the current financial year, that is 2007-08, we're going to receive at 921.6 million for the provision of basic infrastructure in the province. But as my colleague indicated, if you look into the three components from Southern, for instance, in our case, we have the water services, that is 72% of the 75 needs to go into water services, which translates into 477 million out of 191 to be used for water and sanitation. So that is much of the budget, although if you look into the challenges, it should have been actually highly prioritized by municipalities. In terms of the backlog on sanitation at the province, it's now 816,758,000 households, that is the backlog of sanitation, which will cost roughly 3.3 billion to eradicate the sanitation backlog up to the basic level of services. But I must say that as a province, we do not have a budget system, although we still have septic tanks. We do have septic tanks in the areas of Greater Nitara, and mostly in areas of Greater Marble Hall. Those are the areas where we are setting tents. But with the previous meeting that we've been making with the premier, it has been agreed that we have also to prioritize the septic tents so that we can be able to eradicate them as well. So this is actually similar to what I've been indicating, that we more rely on MIG funding, which actually in the formula it means we're not doing well in terms of allocation for sanitation. But again, if you look into technology, as a province, we held a sanitation symposium whereby we're trying to look into the best scenarios and the technologies that we can be able to apply in the province to address sanitation. Because if you look into the budget of 3.3 billion, it may not be possible to raise that kind of funding. However, if you look into other areas of technologies, we can be able to deal with that. And I must indicate that we are looking into the India model. There is a Sulap model whereby the dry sanitation is one of the areas that we want to focus on. So those are the areas that we're going to look into so that we would address the issues of sanitation in the province, which in a way will be creating more jobs in the province, but also at a lower cost. So those are the technologies that we're going to look into as a province. But more importantly is that only appropriate sanitation technology is the sustainability and the long-term usage of that particular model that are going to use, and also improve on the issues of health and hygiene, which will also lead into the environmental protection. Because if you look into the system that you're using, it's actually not more environmentally friendly. So these are the methods or the models that we want to able to employ so that we can be able to address issues of environment, health and hygiene. There are so many issues in terms of structural arrangement or coordination. Amongst others, sanitation involves multi-structural approach, meaning all the structural departments and other role players should be actively involved, which provides or is a challenge in the province. But I must say that this draft, are we getting all the necessary support to be able to move together in assisting the municipalities. Also, the non-reliability of information in terms of planning, for instance, specific to population information, service affordability, and all the that becomes a problem because information is actually not that much sufficient. So it poses a challenge for us to plan in the best way of addressing the infrastructural challenges. Another area that we're looking at is the municipal priorities. Currently, we only have one district and two municipalities out of state which have the investment infrastructure framework, meaning that these are the three municipalities out of state which are able to quantify and be able to show a roadmap in terms of addressing infrastructure. But as a province as well, we have identified growth points. These growth points are actually particularly the former white towns which are going to prioritize, Makado being one of them, Greater Dlamini, Letaba and the others. Those are the areas where we're going to ensure that they have infrastructure investment framework. Of late, we also have challenges with the Lephalale due to the massive investment that are taking place in the area. So there is a need for infrastructure investment framework as well as Greater Dlamini with the opening of mines in that area. So those are the areas where if we have a credible infrastructure framework, we can be able to assist them. At the end of the day, inconsistencies in IDPs and budget plans that remain the challenge in most of the municipalities. So it becomes difficult for them to be able to pay more attention on water and sanitation issues. But I won't go much in terms of the other data initiatives. Okay. In terms of the scenarios of sanitation in terms of infrastructure, as I've indicated, in terms of on-site challenges, we have done some site visits for some approaches in the province. For instance, as I said, septic tanks in Mojasis Group, that is in Greater Letaba, also in Minyeni, that is in Greater Dlamini, Binga in Tholamela, which is the district. The other system west, which is Mopane district, Motimule sewer system, and Tahame, which is now at Waterberg district. So these are the areas where we actually have killer challenges. If you look at Waterberg, it's actually the sewer treatment systems or plants that are giving us a problem. But if you look into Mujahid group and the others, it's actually the septic tanks that are becoming a problem. But in terms of partnership, what we have done is Mopane district together with the local municipality, as well as the department will put funding aside to be able to prioritize this particular area. So by the end of the year, the project will have been completed. As I said, the sewer ponds can no longer cope with the incoming volume due to population growth, which was never planned for. Amongst others, the areas of the Palari Karazini, these are the areas that are actually receiving highest attention in terms of the sewer ponds. As it was presented from Kaunting, we also have the same problem whereby, especially in rural areas, the different types of sanitation structures. Most of them are constructed by owners themselves, but these do not meet the standard. So if you want to improve on that, you actually have to put more resources to look into that. And also the issues of the treatment works. Which were done time immemorial, so it becomes very much difficult in terms of the quality of that structure. It's not, those structures are not coping anymore. So these are actually taking place in most of the growth points, that is our former urban, actually our current urban areas, or semi-urban areas like Makado and Bulugan. So we need to pay attention to this particular area because the kind of growth that they're experiencing was actually not planned for. So in terms of strategic intervention, I've already touched on some of them, but as a province, what we've done, we've deployed technical personnel in municipalities. Thus far, we have deployed close to 12 experts, technical experts, through the Sienna Mange program with CDSA to assist various municipalities, but critically in the areas of Tukune district, where we're actually having very serious problems. Those are the areas where we have deployed. But as well, what we have done as a province institutionally, looking into the status of the organogram to be in such a way that we are going to be able to support the infrastructure development in various municipalities. As well as sectoral support from other departments, that is through the IDP planning processes, where we assist the IDP plan project implementation, asset management, process operations and maintenance. So those are the areas that we have identified as critical in terms of intervention. Again, we have realized that it is actually the entire value chain of a municipality that impacts on the performance infrastructure. If you focus on technical aspects only, you find that if the finance section is not adequate or the municipal manager has not been appointed, it actually affects the whole chain of infrastructure services. So we also encourage them to improve on their performance management system that therefore improves on infrastructure development. And then also focus on trying to encourage those of that are doing well, that is increasing funding levels for those that are actually doing well as water service authorities. And you remember that when there was an issue of MIG, poor expenditure nationwide, there were other municipalities that have been identified where there was a proposal of the budget act on MIG. But in the province, we had those where they would have been identified for the budget act, but we had those that have been identified for an incremental window, especially in the areas of water services, because all the local municipalities are water service authorities. So those actually have an increased budget, and actually are doing well. As much as looking into the adoption of the sanitation technologies that informed by research and stakeholder participation. So these actually have emanated from our sanitation symposium, provincial sanitation symposium, that took place in January, whereby we identified various areas where we can be able to work together and identify new technologies. But more importantly is the issue of infrastructure investment plan. And as I said, that we have prioritized various municipalities to be assisted in this area. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Ms.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, honorable members. My name is Gino Barbisa, I'm the municipal manager at the Crystal and Crystal Municipality. As I have said, honorable members, I apologize that we were not here yesterday, but we must say that we were not informed, but we know that we deal with the officials. We do a brief presentation, specifically focusing on the level. The outline of the presentation, just a brief background in terms of Crisani and where Crisani is in the country and in the province. And then we'll talk about the level of figures as we have them now, and the budget department, and just briefly on current projects and completed projects in terms of grant application and the funding that we think we require to eradicate buckets by the end of the year, and some challenges that we are having. This map shows briefly where Crisani is. If you look at the bottom map, on the left, that is the map of the country, that's Eastern Cape. And the bottom right map, it shows Crisani with the six districts in fact, and the metro in the Eastern Cape. And then on top there, those are the 18 municipalities that constitute Crisani. Also in terms of population, You know, I was noticing the Madam said that Chaldea is actually smaller than our district in terms of square kilometers. Our population is about 810,000, and we consider about 12.4% of the provincial population. And at the time, said that the specific was in the same case after our Tambo and the Matur specific municipality. Our district is mostly rural and is dominated by youth. I think this is the important slide for the committee. These are our federal figures. As you see, the total for water, we need about 520 million. And for sanitation, we need about 389 million. And the total is close to 1 billion. But those figures, Madam Chair, they don't include public eradication. In terms of the budget, to meet the water target for the coming financial year and 2008-09, we need about 260 million. And for sanitation to meet the 2010 target, we need about 97 million annually. And you've noticed that for the next financial year, we needed about 357 million. But in terms of the division of revenue, the bill figures that we got so far, those are the figures in red for the three financial years. So we've got quite a huge shortfall. Now looking at the budget allocation project, in total we had about 6,976 buckets, and already we have eradicated about 1,120, that is in the current year. Now, we still have about 5,866, of which those are completed by 11 projects in our district. Three of those have been completed, five are under construction, and three are at the planning stage. Now just showing where the public eradication projects are in those towns that are in red, showing those projects that are being implemented, and those in green show those projects that are still at the planning stage. Now in terms of funding requirements for public eradication, we required about 150 million and the funds that are already available are about 77 million, of which 45 million comes from me, and we received about 12 million from the department, the provincial department of housing, local government and traditional affairs. Out of our own equitable share, we set aside 10 million. And we also made a loan, Madam Chair, with CBSA for another 10 million. But so far, we still require about 73 million to eradicate buckets. Now moving to challenges, as I've already said that we need more funding, both for time sanitation and bucket eradication. And I also want to emphasize the fact that the figures that have been shown, they don't include dilapidated infrastructure, especially in the old town where infrastructure is collapsing. We also have the challenge of bulk population, especially in the current town, areas of Midberg, areas of Hofmeyr. But we know that have done a study in those areas so they know exactly what is needed, and we are waiting with a huge hope that the bulk infrastructure funding that has been allocated to DWAF, some of it will be coming to Kutra. We also have the challenge to balance in terms of funding allocation
between the basic infrastructure that is working towards achieving the target and also having local economic development projects that can create sustainable employment. The other challenge is the high cost per capita due to our area in terms of villages being scattered all over. We argue a lot with the Department of Water Affairs with this, you know, where they are saying, no, these costs are very high. In certain instances, we have to actually take them to the village so that they can feed themselves. The other challenge is the sustainability of VIPs, as we know that, especially in the rural areas, we have been continuing to put VIPs, but we are really investigating now at other modes of sanitation that are sustainable, because we fear that in future, when those VIPs are full, we'll be in trouble. The other challenge, especially in those areas that we bring the, especially in the Dodgers in the area, communities, they just want water bottles, not anything else. When you talk about another mode, they say, no, better leave this bucket. And when you are ready, with funding, come and put water bottles. The other challenge we foresee is that we've just been informed through me that the 73 million that we said we need forms part of our allocation. We still need to verify this because it's not yet official. And we're saying that if it's been sent for propaganda ratification out of our own allocation, because in the bill, it was shown as extra funding on top of the 207 million. Now recently we have been told that it's part of the 207 and we've got, projects that, that are under construction and where we have committed ourselves. The other challenge is the non-performing service providers. We've got two of our projects where we had to cancel contracts because of non-performance, especially on bacteria eradication projects. But we have used, you know, the project management group to continue those projects so that we can make sure that they are completed before the end of the year. The other challenge is the introduction of the JGBS. If you look at the Eastern Cape, you find very few contractors that are rated around grade 5, grade 6. So you find most of our contractors, they are lower down. As a result now, you find that there are very few contractors when you put out tender. The issue of the retention of skilled personnel is also a big challenge for us. Last month, we have just two of our key officials, our PMU manager and our supply chain manager, resigned, you know, to go to bigger municipalities that can be better. Lastly, Madam Chair, the implementation of the supply chain management regulation, we have quite a challenge there because the supply chain management unit is relatively new. And as you know, the regulations, they require us to have specification committee, evaluation committee, and the bid adjudication committee. So we've got a challenge of capacity in that area. Madam Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to do this presentation.
Thank you very much again to yourself for Thank you. Okay. We would like to start.
Thank you, Keiko sir. Keiko sir, this is one question I wish to have here at the moment. I was just wondering how many was the master is very good presentation. I just wondered how many consultants are being used in housing department in relation to planning for water position and sanitation. And I want to give you the difficulty to be very best at budget.
Thank you. Housing. The issue of the ownership of tenants. And that's one of the parts maybe the second. It doesn't have the money to maintain that toilet. What happens? Just some minus on both items. One is the, I thought that is one in top of budget evacuation will end up with a statistic or a statement that tells us how we are meeting the target of 2007. I just want to thank the professor just to tell us if they think they will make it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jason. I just remembered the one I was going to ask you in Popo. When one looks at the presentation, it appears to me as if we still have a problem in Popo. However, it was reported that the purple test is first forward in a sense of service that hasn't got any money, that there is the result there is done. So that's not what I think it's in purple. Okay. That was the wrong problem. So I see actually. It's a very big problem. So I've been to Facebook telling me I'm looking far off. I'm sorry. It wasn't very clear to me as to how, for instance, how it was very clear on, for instance, which areas suffered in terms of the identification that they agreed. On with what they're dealing first and how they're going to deal with the next phase, etc. I think it's quite to get us very clearly with the focus.
Well, of course, the POPO says they don't have a budget, and the other question is the member of housing, yes, you have some budgets that they need to be eradicated. I think the question is, housing, maybe I didn't speak of the program of eradication. The next month, what we hope to achieve, the month thereafter, what we hope to achieve. But I've been listening to both houses and the POPO, what came to my mind is, whilst we concentrate on the bucket eradication, when we talk about the other forms of sanitation, we then become worried. What happened in that regard? Because we worried that whilst we say these are the other forms of sanitation, in the POPO when we were there, the one thing we picked up very clearly was the fact that your VIPs are now starting to, back of a different word, crumble. Now, what does that mean? Where you have the other form of sanitation, what does that mean? Does it mean that you have an operation and maintenance program in place? How can you say that they would want to have waterborne by a particular place? You have the water resources for that. And then in the POPO, the same thing. Because I think it's taken it in that it's as we celebrate the eradication of the bucket system in December, the 1st of January, you just see everywhere there are other problems with other types of sanitation that are there that are now not, according to the community, worthwhile to have. So I think it will help if you tell us these other forms. I thought Honorable Arnson was going to raise the issue that he raised with the Deputy President, and I should maybe give him the opportunity to state the question here also in the way that he speaks to the Deputy President of the National Assembly, because I think it is something that concerns the Portfolio Committee sufficiently. You can't just change something, but what about what we have at the moment? I think for everyone, then let's speak about including the funds. For all of you that are saying, these are the finances that we require to eradicate, what does that mean? Does it mean that I think one of you said that you're going to make a loan from the people who are something that is going to do? Krishan, what does that mean? Are you planting the municipality to debt now? Is there, how are you going to manage that thing? Were you forced into that situation where you had to go to the CBSA because there were no other financial resources forthcoming? I don't think all of you can just unpack this issue that all of you said you require more finances. Does that mean that in the recent case, it then means we now need to worry whether the target will be reached in total, whether the rest of your sanitation program in any of them will be worked in the same with you for housing also. What impact does it have on the rollout of the service in general? Honorable Arisa, I want to put that answer that question also.
Well, if you insist, Chairman, let me ask the Deputy President to give me the answer. The problem is to have precisely what we saw Kaukendu spoke about, as well as Limpopo. And the reason why I asked the Deputy President the question was because we've done research and we found that it's the same problem exists everywhere else in the country. And yet you have the systems that they showed in their presentation where the resident or the owner of the property has dug a pit themselves. I remember that system when I grew up on my grandma's farm. If you look at a house, driving past, you would say that it's a formal area, but it's a big house, it's a farmhouse. And but in the yard, big yard, that you don't see is a handmade latrine, right? I remember my dad calling it, and let's make what the name from this person, the long drop. As a matter of fact, I saw my uncle putting on the toilet a little wooden board with the name of the toilet, painted in white, the long drop. So the question to the Deputy President was that where we now have counted buckets, right, in the various provinces, have we also counted these? Because they, for all intents and purposes, are buckets. Because in some areas, there is actual buckets that the, as Kaukendu said, that the people put in themselves, and that they empty somewhere on their property when it's full. They do it all themselves. So as far as I'm concerned, that's the same problem that has to be dealt with. And I thought that there ought to be a plan to deal with those problems. And that would count the bucket. That has to be part of the overall total that we give at the end of the day. Because it is the same problem. So the President's answer was kind of like how James said. We will deal with these ones now, and with those ones like that in a second phase. I just feel that the expectation has been set for even those people. They know they've got buckets because they know this is the day themselves. That these buckets too would be eradicated. And I was hoping to see some of the provinces, if not all, coming forth with an idea, how do we deal with that? At the same time, what I wanted to know at the time is that people said, were our plans flexible enough? So if we didn't count them now and incorporate them and deal with them at the same time. So I don't see something here, but we can wish away. They did. I mean, how they have counted them. The Pope in their presentation has shown them those ones. And the other provinces have them too. And when you don't have them as part of your study, you probably didn't find them yet, but they did.
Thank you very much, Honorable. So what you didn't say is that you were almost ruled out of order in the House for talking about long drops in the National Assembly. Nevertheless, it will help us to clarify the issue that I think Housing said in particular. They say that you gave them this definition. Now, what we don't understand is if we eradicate buckets in X area, why don't we eradicate in the entire area? Why would you then stop within the framework that you said what saved you? I mean, even if the financial and human resources waste, the concentration on this instead of cleaning up a particular area. So I think it will help if you can clarify to us also, because I would want to imagine that the framework that the department issues, I mean, even if it must be a flexible one, that speaks to the realities of what provinces and what municipalities should achieve to overcome poverty in the areas where they are, and not to have a piecemeal kind of approach to it. But of course there needs to be stipulations and stuff like that, but the thought that of course, you know, what is important to be done, and that is, you know, we must fulfill dignity, we must alleviate, we must roll out services, and so on. So I think it will help to clarify all of that to us. It does look like those are the questions that we have at the moment. So if we could ask, what last
thank you, Honourable Chair. First, in relation to the loan, Honourable Chair, I think at the time Council was looking at the target of bucket eradication. And as you know, Honourable Chair, that the source of income where the municipalities, they depend on grants, and as the different municipalities, we also had the levies, which were abolished. Now, Council decided that to augment the funding that we get from grant funding, we also need to make a loan. That loan we have to service, Madam Chair, and we budget for it. It's a 10-year loan, so we pay the FCPSA every year from our equitable share. In terms of the meeting the target, Madam Chair, I think what we are trying to indicate in the presentation is that our continuous engagement with DFSD and DWARF, we indicated that these areas that are left will require about 73 million. And in the deal, that 73 million was set aside for bucket eradication. And we thought that because in terms of spending, we have prepared ourselves, you know, to be ready to go to tender. So as I was saying that we recently heard from PTSD that no, the 73 million is part of your overall allocation, which was not the case in the team. So that is where now we are doubting that if that is the case, then it will mean that we won't be able to meet our target. And I think the other concern, Madam Chair, is that we thought at this stage that funding would be finalized and would be at tender stage already. So there's also time problems that we're having do not eat this, do not analyze food. Just to comment on what you are saying, Madam Chair, in relation to, you know, in our area, there's a township that had buckets and septic tanks. And, you know, when we discuss those things with the department, they say, no, we are focusing on buckets. And our politicians are saying, how can you put water boards for those that have buckets and leave these septic tanks here? It doesn't make sense. You have to eradicate even the septic tanks within the same township. So these are some of the challenges we're experiencing also, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. From Limpopo, what I would like to indicate that is that in terms of the bucket system, as there's one question on that, we haven't actually indicated or really put the figures there because we do not have any bucket systems in the province. However, what we have is the septic tank that is in the areas of the Greater Litava and also in the areas of Marble Hall. So those are the ones that we are actually eradicating, but they are not particularly classified as debacle systems. On the issue of appropriate technology in terms of addressing rural sanitation, as a province, we have actually we are undertaking a study on or research in terms of the SULAP model. They call it the SULAP Black Compost Toilet. So this is one of the rural sanitation innovative technology that we want to explore as a province. But based on that, if you link it to the financial resources that are required, as indicated, 3.3 billion, we realize that for us to be able to address the challenges, it may be also necessary to look into the issues of EPWP principles in terms of addressing rural sanitation, not necessarily thinking that it might need a lot of money. So we're going to link up with the SULAP model that is in India. We have started some process of engaging through the embassy so that we can be able to have some technical experts coming over to the province from India to assist in this regard. So that will also address the issue of massive job creation in terms of EPWP principles and then be able to reduce the financial resources that are required. The figure that we have indicated there, it shows the money that is required with the current way of doing things. But if we change our ways of implementing of addressing rural sanitation in terms of EPWP as well as other innovative mechanisms, then we may not be able to require 3.3 billion. But if we continue the way we are addressing rural sanitation, particularly that amount should be then applicable. Thank you, sir.
First question in terms of do the housing appointments suffer? All the consultants have been appointed by the municipality. The third most of the projects are on either the water board, about 80%, and the rest is the VIC. Now, the issue with the VIC that we've seen currently is that in terms of meetings for the second question, would a person who's not earning money be able to fund the repair of the VIC? That would be the responsibility of the municipality. Because if they come up and want to install a VIC, then they need to have the capability of actually making that tank. In most cases, it shouldn't, if the systems are properly used, it should last you at least about a minimum of 3 years. That's the calculation we've done in line with the tank. But the misuse of these is a crucial problem. And this is where the participation of the community and having meeting with the community, informing them how the system works, how it is constructed, when will it fail. And that is the reason that we keep going back to our project now, which has been completed 2 years at the same time. What is exactly happening now? Is it functional? How do we get rid of it? Some of the municipalities can currently handle that situation because they have the equipment and the machinery available. So there's not a great time to see it. But what we have not seen
if in the IDP funding for this to be done under the NFO, it's very, very critical. We will look at our independent system. What is the IDP? But we've not seen this in the IDP. The IDP is in fact the outcome of the old responsible training facility. In terms of the budget that was required, for the water, we're looking at close to $2 billion, and in regard to sanitation, we're looking at about $5 billion. However, that can easily be resolved by the housing department itself. Because most of our problems are created by the backlog. Housing has a backlog of 500,000 houses. If the housing structure is going black, and each one has become waterborne, which is suggesting that it will all become waterborne, we don't have a previous problem of backlog moving between rapidly. But currently the stats are aging, because where, if you're just looking at the water, 262,000 houses don't have water, and the backlog is 500,000 for housing. So if you give all those 262,000 people houses, you won't have a water problem. The same with the sanitation, 437,000 houses. And if you amalgamate them back into housing, you wouldn't have a problem. So our target now is to get housing reform. The guys, you know, to start performing. But in light of that, the 2007 target for the sanitation, I hope I'm not being misunderstood. Housing will be the target of eradicating the problem. Although I put up a graph that was in 1994, we know what the other problems were. We have debt, and we've taken that over to eradicate what is debt. What we also did is, before we even started debating the issue of numbers, we wrote letters to each municipality and said, guys, this is the information we have on market. Can you confirm if you have this, if you not have this, what is the statistics, what is the income statistics? So the case is that these are the buckets that the municipality supplies, these are the buckets we want to get to them. And that's how we came up to what housing has as buckets. The issue in terms of informal settlements, having non-blocked or what we call the own of the CIP. In most cases, those need to be addressed by housing departments. So those are some of the people also sitting and waiting for housing and saying, we have applied long time ago, what are you guys doing about it? But again, you need to assist the municipalities. You notice that most of the housing cases, they aren't the equal colors that are put in place, the function. Like in certain areas like Bakerstown, where it was a huge community problem, the VIPs were put in place, but they are there on a temporary basis. When we do the VIP that is on a temporary basis, we will make sure those are solid pre-cut structures. They're not the ones that are shown to be where they are in block format. So the solid pre-cut structures, you can reload them on a truck, 6 months down the track, and use those pre-cut concrete structures again. The only thing you may have to do again is build them on. So you have to be careful when you actually implement this project. So we're taking the route of saying, certain areas, you can go the food VIP where we know the land is formalized, and we can convert those into waterborne. But where there is an informal settlement that we need to come to the relocation, then we go for the concrete structures and make it easy to get the ground off of the rock, and those structures will be tested. So those are the ones on that. In terms of program eradication, housing is only got 2 months left, but we just have one project, which is about 278 toilets to be eradicated in the bucket, and that is in the Mercedes municipality. All the other municipalities have given up to 2 months ago. They are finished. But at the same time, I must inform the House that there is a problem. Bucket sale on its own is a big business in Poland. When you give people a new toilet structure or waterborne sanitation, they do not want to release their bucket. They will tell you it's not taking the bucket because it needs for other purposes. They then sell that bucket to any guys who are coming in. But that increases the capacity. So if you go to a plot, like I said earlier on, the common term we use that people are in farming, when you have one guy, one owner, they have one of the plot, he's got a problem, you go give him a waterborne sanitation. But in his backyard, he started to farm. All the industry, all the shares and cases. So if you've got enough people who come and join in and live on these premises where he charges them rent. And now we're asking, is that our problem, the provincial government, is it a housing problem, or is it now an industrial problem which we need to look at? So there are projects also which I think you heard of the 2016 for Caltech, the 20 priority parking system that they've
Their project running in Kuwait now with a very dedicated shack in the backyard of existing property owners. And they are developing this other pilot project now where we're telling the owner, we want to get rid of the shack, we will put you up, not 1,000, and rent up and we'll connect to the sanitation system. We'll pay for the sanitation, and we'll pay for the electricity. So there are things like that which is difficult for us now to address this problem. But the ones that are in the offering will definitely get rid of. I agree. Can you get rid of all the buckets here? How they can do that? The issue in terms of water, we have looked at different technologies, which I don't think the other problems we have looked at as yet. How they have decided it is easier to take water to any community than to pull the sanitation back. That is why we're talking about decentralized sanitation systems. The latest one we have seen, which is from the government of overseas also, is a Chinese food tank system. And this bridge is out of reach. You can connect 250 houses to this one tank. And what that tank does is that it purifies the whole system. You're dropping about 20,000 liters of water. And you connect that tank up to each house with a separate glass. That tank, when you flush your house, the sewer comes back into the tank where it is then purified and sent back to your house, but only to your tank for flushing. Doesn't put it into your situation for drinking the water. And that is a system which costs an average of around, the worth of 200 rand a month in the tank, just to make it. And you can have each house that costs between 1 rand for the system, which works for 6 months on its own, with very little income. The only thing you have to do on that system is change the water every 6 months. The municipalities can do very easily themselves. Or in the case of they cannot do the water is always leaked up to the area. So you can just pump the water in. So that's one of the technologies we have seen, and that is why we've been encountering. It is possible to see that it's possible. But you do not need to take the sewer back to the plant. You put it within the area. And the tanks are sealed and they are closed, there are no smells. The very little electricity required for the system is not even the back of the chemical pump, but the very little electricity. It's totally enclosed, sealed up tank system. If you want to have a look, I think I've got the presentation. I can show it to anybody who's interested in it. That is why we believe the water target we can use anything in the sanitation target.
I think the facility has answered everybody's question. The ownership of the grid. I think I've covered everything for the chief.
Yes, sir, but I just want to make it clear the answer. That's the question about long office. I'm not referring to informal settlement. Because informal settlement for the time being the main moving target for today. I'm referring to formal areas. People own property, their house. It's just that over the years they've been digging their own foot or using their own bucket. So when you look at the area, by looking at it, you can see there are roads, there are brick houses, it's a formal area. But they don't have a formal penetration system. They have an informal, that's not informal, but they have an informal penetration system. So my argument is that that is part of the same problem as the delta.
And so yes, those have been resolved in culture. What we have is we have an indigenous system of all those who actually hold land, and if they make it on that indigenous system and cannot afford that system, then we will go out there and provide the water and sanitation. Today, the water progress, I think we are 97% on that indigenous system. The indigenous producer has got currently 1.2 or 8, if I remember clearly, households who have water. So 97% of those people who have water. Then those ones that are away, long distance away from the road, will have no problem. In terms of the sanitation part, we also have around 86% lack of electricity, if I remember that one. And the same goes for electricity. To those households, on the indigenous producer, I think it's about 81%. That we have. But I do have those stats on the
I see from where the councils are formalized, the people still have their own constituents. They have only status, probably known, and those are the name of the religion. Those are not the name of the religion, those are the name of the living on their land in religion. So who can be supported by the support of the religion?
Thank you very much, honorable chairperson, honorable members of the portfolio, which could be taken from. Thank you for the opportunity to come into the presentation on behalf of all provincial problems of the government. With me, I have Mr. Rudy Schneider, the Chief Director of WAF in the province, which is an indication of the very good working relationship that we have with the Department of Water Affairs and Policy in the province. If we look at the first slide, this indication for the province. Everybody knows the largest province with the smallest population, but there's an indication of the five districts that we have. The smallest one in terms of size, the furthest part. Then you can see to the west, Namakwa, the southeast, Sikasene, and the more central north, Siyanda, and the Kahalahadi in the northeastern part of the province. We also look on the left that there is those red lines, the northeastern corner of the left. That shows the cross boundary areas in the Halahari district, including the Koshoveng municipality, to which we will refer later on, as well as parts of the Pokwani municipality, the southern part of that was included to the northern Cape province. And those areas, especially in the Halahari areas, which is relatively underdeveloped, and there's huge deadlocks in terms of water services, sanitation, and water supply. We also need to note that the Northern Cape is a water scarce province, and it does impact on the provision of water services. A document was compiled on the deadlocks on water services, all for household purposes, as well as the clinics and the schools. And it was signed by the Premier and the Ministry of Housing and Local Government in December 2006. That document is accepted as the basis for all statistics on backlogs in the province. But the second slide basically is an indication of the targets which we all know about. While this presentation will mainly focus on the market education program, but this specific slide also gives an indication on what is the situation around water supply as well as sanitation in schools. And we are talking about 21 schools that doesn't have water on site, and the number of learners is also indicated on the slide. 17 of those 21 schools is the cross-boundary area of the Halahari, especially in the Moshoveng municipality, but also part of the Hatagonyane municipality. Moshoveng is a rural municipality that basically consists of communal tribal land as well as a lot of what is called rural villages. With regard to sanitation, there's 279 schools that do not meet the norm, and an estimated a total of 1,767 calls are required. The slide also gives an indication of the funds needed to address these backlogs. Then the next slide, just shortly on trades and water and sanitation provision. The only area where we still have a backlog and will definitely eradicate this backlog in this year is in Siyanda, where they have two clinics that needs. Where we need water at two clinics and then also sanitation at the two clinics that doesn't meet the basic requirements. On the bottom, eradication, the figure that we are working from in terms of the backlog is 6,846 packets. When we are talking about, what we do replace those packets with is, in most cases, is VIPs, which is part of our facilitation in what is called UBS, but also where it is possible, water for facilitation. Funds that we have received, $65.9 million. Those funds are sufficient to address the framework, but they are some challenges to educate all public to the pros by the end of the year, but they are some challenges as we refer to them now. Although the funding should be sufficient, the challenges still exist to eradicate the backlog. The bulk services should first be in place. As I think